Support for Health Matters on MSPR comes from the Northeast Kentucky Area Health Education Center, located at the St. Clair Regional Medical Center in Moorhead. Additional information on the Northeast AHEC is available online at neahec.org.
Hello and welcome to Health Matters. I am your host and radio health evangelist, Dr. Tony Weaver. This is the 11.5th annual Fall Spectacular. Now, here's the problem, Shelley. A few years ago, we lost track of how many Fall Spectaculars we had done. And this is either 11 or 12, so we averaged them out, and we made the 11.5th Fall Spectacular.
Okay.
Thanks to our listeners at True Talk Internet Radio. With me, my new co-medical host from the University of Kentucky, assistant professor in the UK Physician Assistant Studies Program. That's a lot of S's. Shelley Irving. Hi, Shelley.
Hi. Good to be here.
Now, Rick usually takes off and he's on assignment in Isomville or Salt Lake. Rick, unfortunately, has run away with Larry, the NASA chief engineer. We will probably be staging an intervention if and when he does come back. But for all of our radio fans, your support is needed. Rick is knee deep in technology. He seems delirious. What he did, he went down to Orlando, Florida for the Splunk Festival. Splunk is a database manager. For those of you who don't know what that is, this handles really big data. It's a great thing for protecting a university's internet connections, email, and so forth from malware and other things that would attack. So Rick is down there learning about Splunk. And meanwhile, Larry, the chief engineer, apparently Rick's new best friend, invited him to come over to the Kennedy Space Center for a tour and to actually have lunch with an astronaut. And I can only imagine right now, and you can only imagine, Rick, living absolutely the dream at the Kennedy Space Center. If you are a technological person, where else in the world would you want to go? And Rick is down there now while we're recording the show. He may or may not be back next week, depending on how he and Larry hit it off. We can only hope that someday we will get him back. Our website to listen to the show, WMKY.org. You'll find our programs there listed in alphabetical order by date. It's roughly an hour-long show. You can download the MP3s there or just listen to it. Just click on it. You can also get that from iTunes. You can get them downloaded as a podcast. We also have a Facebook page, HM Radio Show. We put articles that are relevant to or irrelevant in many cases on that. We also take listener comments. So if you want to contact us, you want to talk to us, HM Radio Show on Facebook is the place to go. Our sponsor for today's show, Shoes with Tread, reminding you if your feet feel numb and dead, you should be wearing Shoes with Tread. Shoes with Tread, the easy way to avoid falls. You know, Shelley, I was in clinic yesterday and I had an elderly diabetic person. She comes in. And she says, I've got some calluses on my feet. And she says, what kind of cream should I use for the calluses? And I looked down at her feet, and I told her the kind of cream that will make those flip-flops dissolve and go away. Because she, I'm not making this up, she was wearing flip-flops. Meanwhile, her daughter had on running shoes with white socks. So her daughter's now my new hero. And I pointed out the difference between mother and daughter, the daughter being more sensible. The foot gear that you wear is one of the critical elements in avoiding falls.
Yes, I agree.
We'll hit this several times during the show. 1 in 3 older people fall each year. Survey of the footwear purchased by 128 community dwelling people. This was a few years ago by the CDC. 60 men, age over 65 years, majority wore slippers in their homes. 32% of women, 28% of men walked barefoot or wore socks. Now, you've done house calls, Shelley. Does that sound about right?
Yep, that sounds correct.
And this you could not do any worse than these slip-on sock feet shoes. At the key moment when you need your shoes, you don't have them. They either slip off or obviously you didn't have them in the first place. 61% of falls occurred outdoors. Shoes with heels greater than 2.5 centimeters, basically an inch tall, double your risk of falling. Walking barefoot or wearing socks increases your risk of falling by up to 11 times compared with walking in athletic or canvas shoes. So, again, your foot gear makes a huge difference. I use Yak Tracks in the winter. I don't know if you're familiar with those or not, Shelley.
Yes, I am.
You got them?
I don't, but I have family members with them.
Yeah. So these are a rubber sort of web-like thing that fits over your feet, and especially in the snowfall, gives you a lot better traction. But during the rest of the year, I have become, after being a doctor for many years, seeing all the bad things that happen to people, I have no flip-flops in my wardrobe, And I will wear socks and lace-up shoes pretty much every day, and I wear them until I go to bed. And the only exception, if I'm in a chair reading, other than that, I will be wearing shoes at all time. So that's our sponsor, Shoes with Tread, reminding you if your feet feel numb and dead. That is, if you have a problem with the sensations of your feet, especially those people should be wearing Shoes with Tread. All of us should be wearing shoes, though. Barefoot and flip-flops and shoes with more than an inch tall heels do increase your risk of having a fall. The first article we're going to talk about today was just fun. It's all I can say. First of all, this was about, I'll read you the title. This came from the Department of Osteopathic Surgical Specialties at Michigan State University, East Lansing. Validation of a functional pilocalcial renal model for the evaluation of renal calculi passage while riding a roller coaster. So you got your first two lines are a bunch of Dr. Mumbo Jumbo, and then while riding a roller coaster. So that gets your attention, right?
Yeah.
So what they're talking about, a functional pilocalcial renal model, is they made a model of a kidney. And then they used that model to see about passing kidney stones. Now, here's their introduction. 300,000 people seek emergency department care for kidney stones every year. People do a lot of things to pass kidney stones. They mention basically positional inversion, that is hanging from your feet. Hydration, getting plenty of fluids to try to make you pee more. External application of force to the body. Haven't seen that. I did have a patient. He would, when he felt the pain of a kidney stone, he'd had cerebral. He would get him a six-pack of beer and saddle up his horse. And he would gallop around on the horse, basically bouncing up and down while drinking beer. And the hydration and the peeing from the beer and the bouncing up and down, he felt helped him pass kidney stones. Have you seen, you got any tricks for passing stones?
I don't have any tricks, but yeah, drinking beer, I hear that a lot.
The this is what they said, spontaneous passage of kidney stone associated with bungee cord jumping and roller coaster riding have been published in the foreign lay press. That is, you know, this is not in a medical journal, it's not in U.S. literature, but there it is. The lifetime prevalence of kidney stones, this is discouraging, but kidney stones in men, 11% of men will have kidney stones at some point in their life, 6% of women. Over several years, say the authors, a notable number of our patients reported passing kidney stones spontaneously after riding the Big Thunder Mountain Railroad roller coaster at Walt Disney World's Magic Kingdom theme park in Orlando, where my friend Rick is right now AWOL, if he's not at the Kennedy Space Center.
Maybe he's on the roller coaster.
He might be on the Big Thunder Mountain Railroad roller coaster. Keep that in mind, because that apparently helps you pass kidney stones. So they said, well, gee, why don't we see if the Big Thunder Mountain Railroad roller coaster at Walt Disney World's Magic Kingdom theme park in Orlando, Florida, maybe it actually has some action to help people pass kidney stones. Let's test that out. Now, okay, I'm not sure this was during a staff meeting on Monday morning. I think this project was a Friday afternooner myself.
Probably.
But there it is. They said one patient reported passing kidney stones after each of three consecutive rides on the roller coaster. Basically, rode on the roller coaster, went to the bathroom, passed a kidney stone, got on it again, and apparently cleaned his kidney out. And they've said many patients reported passing kidney stones within hours of leaving the park, and all of them rode the same roller coaster. So there's something about, again, I'll name it again, Big Thunder Mountain Railroad roller coaster at Walt Disney World for kidney stones. Now, they had a model that they used to practice doing surgery on kidneys. this just gets better and better. So they took their surgery model and they made a silicone image of it. That means it would be clear and they could see where the kidney stones started and where the kidney stones ended up. Then, and this is a stroke of genius, they got three kidney stones of different sizes suspended in urine. They actually filled their model up with real urine. The renal kidney stones in the study had been spontaneously passed from the patient whose CAT scan was used to create the model. So they went back to their original model and they got his kidney stones to put in a model of his kidney.
Wow.
This is just genius. Now, so they seal the model up with the kidney stones. They went to the roller coaster. The roller coaster has twin tubular steel rails, does not go upside down, a key thing. It does not invert. Maximum speed, 35 miles per hour. Sharp turns, quick drops, 2 minutes and 30 seconds. And they said while riding on the roller coaster, the model was seated in an anatomic position inside a padded backpack. So they tried to make it like it was inside a real person. Held against the back of the seat at kidney height between the researchers, plural. So apparently two of them managed to go to Walt Disney World to ride the rolling, what would I say, Big Thunder Mountain Railroad roller coaster at Walt Disney World with a backpack in between them with a model of one of their patient's kidneys and three of his kidney stones in it suspended in his urine.
How do you think they explained that to security?
It's good that you asked that because they did say, there was so much of this. Oh, here it is. Before the park's guest services consented to our research project, first of all, I bet they just wet themselves laughing. But then researchers agreed to abide by the park's tenets of safety and show courtesy and efficiency. I don't know why they had to show efficiency, but I think the idea was you don't slow down the ride for anybody if you go to Disney World. So they had to agree to abide by Disney World's things. They did pitch it to guest services, explain what they wanted to do. Now, they took the backpack up. Before and after each ride, the position of each stone, they inserted these stones in urine in the model of the kidney, and then they measured their position. And they took it for 20 rides on the roller coaster.
20 rides.
This is science. Shelly, you've got to realize, this is science. Don't try to short this. I mean, 1918, I don't know if you got enough data. 20 rides. So you had three stones, 20 rides, essentially 60 kidney stone roller coaster rides.
Who's going to pay us to do this kind of science?
They got the good research. Now, this is not going to win the Nobel Prize. I bet you we'll see it on the Ig Nobels, though, next year. You know, that's the ones where it makes you think, but it makes you laugh before you think.
Yeah.
Now, data were gathered from the front seat, cars 1 through 3, and the rear seat, car 5. There's 5 cars in the roller coaster and the rear seat. It turns out that if you look at the front seats, 16 and two-thirds of the kidney stones passed, 16 and two-thirds percent passed. So 1 in 6 basically passed from the front seating. When you sat in the rear car of the roller coaster, 23 of 36, 64% of the stones passed or moved when sitting in the rear car. So there it is. If you've got money, you've got time, you've got kidney stones, it is Big Thunder Mountain Railroad roller coaster. Sit in car 5, the last car, and prepare and drink plenty of fluids and prepare yourself to pass your kidney stones. And I will tell you, it is research like this. First of all, it is a scientific inquiry based on what their patients were telling them. They listened to their patients, which is a great thing. Mm-hmm. It also is very specific in what you need to do. And it sounded like that must have been a lot of fun.
Oh, I'm sure.
Now, if I were in line and these guys in a backpack kept getting waved through, you know, I would think something was up. But if I am a scientific researcher, I can't do any better than this. This was just superb.
No. So what's the copay on that?
That's your question. Now, how much will insurance cover Big Thunder Mountain Railroad roller coaster at Walt Disney World as an adjunct to passing kidney stones? Now, the thing is, obviously, you know, if you don't pass them, and this is a tough thing, but it probably will not take the place of actual surgical procedures or the lithotripsy with the the sound waves and so forth. But at least offers you an opportunity to clear out your kidneys while you're having fun at Disney World. Why don't you clear out your kidneys with a break? We're going to come back in a moment with our second fractional portion. You're listening to Health Matters on Moorhead State Public Radio.
Support for MSPR comes from the Northeast Kentucky Area Health Education Center, located at the St. Clair Regional Medical Center in Moorhead. The Northeast AHEC connects students to careers, professionals to communities, and communities to better health. The Northeast AHEC strives to improve the supply and distribution of healthcare professionals through the community and academic educational partnerships. More information is available online at neahec.org.
Welcome back to Health Matters. This is Shelley Irving.
And I'm Dr. Tony Weaver. This is our 11.5th annual Fall Spectacular. As I said, Shelley is serving as our co-medical host. Rick Phillips is off in technology land and may or may not return. It's like, there's always the dream sequence in the movies where, you know, you're not sure if you're going to wake up or not. I think Rick right now is living the dream, may or may not wake up. Our sponsor for the second time, Shoes with Tread. If your feet feel numb and dead, you should be wearing Shoes with Tread. A reminder, 1 in 3 older people falls each year. The majority of people over age 65 wore slippers within their homes. 32% of women and 28% of men walked either barefoot or wore socks. I tell my patients, barefoot is for the bed, the shower, and the doctor's office and nowhere else. 61% of falls occurred outdoors, and shoes with heels greater than an inch tall doubled your risk of falls. Barefoot or socks increase your risk of falls by 11 times. Now, I got to say, you know, these are, again, observational studies. When they say walking barefoot increases your risk of falling by 11 times, I am not fond of walking barefoot because you wind up hurting your toes and blisters and stepping on things and so forth. Mm-hmm. I think I can turn that around and say people who are frail enough that they don't want to put shoes on or don't feel the need to put shoes on are more like 11 times more likely to fall. So it's not necessarily that being barefoot causes falls. It may be that being frail causes you not to want to put on shoes and also to fall. But for whatever reason, you have a higher risk of falling if you are barefoot. They mentioned heel height and width. That is, you know, those pointy-toed stiletto heels. No one is supposed to balance on the head of a pin. Shelley, your shoes right now are flat.
Yes.
And Shelley is not a high heel kind of person.
No, my grandmother was, so I learned early on not to be a high heels kind of woman.
The worst balance is when the subject wore high heels. High heel collars have been associated with improved balance. That is, if the shoe snugs up against your ankle and keeps your ankle from wobbling, that actually improves balance. So these would be hiking boots. And again, our longtime listeners know that my dad had all kinds of problems with his feet. I suggested that he switch to hiking boots, and he found that to be a great source. His ankles hurt less, and it also seems to prevent falls because it stabilizes the ankle somewhat. Older men perform better with thin soles rather than running shoes because we believe you can still feel the ground, feel uneven areas in the ground through the sole. But the main thing is that the shoe has a sole that will protect you. And again, flip-flops, one, they tend to flop off at the key times. The other thing is those foam rubber soles, they won't protect you from anything, essentially. Whatever you step on will go right through those in a moment. Some have found a relationship between sole hardness and balance in women, but the studies have been done various ways. The sole material and shoe tread design can affect the coefficient of friction, and that's why we talk about shoes with tread. If you wear slick, we are not fond of leather soles, even though hard soles have been, in some studies, been shown to do well. Too many slips, too many falls coming out of leather soles, so we like the shoes that have tread and have traction and will not let you down. So that is our sponsor, Shoes with Tread. If your feet feel numb and dead, you should be wearing Shoes with Tread. Some numbers on falls. Falls, the leading cause of fatal and non-fatal injuries among adults ages 65 and older. During 2014, 27,000 older adults died because of falls. Now, again, this is what happens if you are frail and you don't get pneumonia or you don't have a heart attack. You can have a fall, and many times it's not like you fall over dead, but you will break a hip or break a bone. You'll wind up in the hospital. You get a pneumonia and some complication or a blood clot, and next thing you know, you never make it out of the hospital. The principal cause then of your demise will be the fall. 27,000 older adults in 2014 died because of falls. 2.8 million adults treated in the emergency department for fall-related injuries. 800,000 hospitalized. 28.7% of older adults reported falling, 29 million falls, 7 million injuries, according to the CDC. This is their Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report for September 23rd, 2016. So this is an awful mess. Older adults fall all the time. Shelley, I know you make a living visiting with older adults. What do you tell your adults about falls?
I always tell them to be very careful, to get up slowly. Have assistance getting up if there's somebody around. Use the arms of chairs. Use lift chairs. If they have a walker, they can use that to help them get up. We talk about it a lot.
The National Council on Aging, they had five steps for preventing falls among your older loved ones. First of all, what causes falls? One is, as you mentioned, balance and gait problem. Losing coordination, losing flexibility, losing balance, primarily through inactivity. Mm-hmm. Now, and aging is not necessarily, there are diseases that are more common in old people that might make you more likely to fall. But aging by itself doesn't do that. However, many of us become less physically active as we age. Vision is a big problem. It is harder to see contrasting edges. Cataracts can be an issue. Also, bifocals. Mm-hmm. Turns out the if you put that reading section in the lower part of your glasses, when you look down through those glasses, you see a blurry ground, especially mm-hmm. on stairs, a problem. Medications. Two that I'm aware of, fluid pills, often used for blood pressure or for people with heart conditions or excess fluid, can lead to dehydration. Mm-hmm. And that makes you dizzy when you stand up. The other one, the big one, sleeping pills.
Yeah.
Sleeping pills do not vanish when the alarm clock rings.
No.
You're awake, but you still have a sedative medicine in your system, and that causes all sorts of problems. Environment. Most seniors have lived their homes for a long time, never thought about modifications. Our rule of thumb at our house is pretty much everything stops after the mid-70s. Whatever your shape your house is in the mid-70s, you're not going to remodel, you're not going to add a room, you're not going to add light fixtures or change anything in a major way after your mid-70s. Write into us, radio fans, if you think we're wrong, but that has been our observation watching our aged relatives as well as patients that I see. Chronic condition. More than 90% of older adults have at least one chronic condition, diabetes, stroke, arthritis, and these increase the risk of falling because of, again, lost function, inactivity, or multiple medications. Now, one of the things, you know, it's interesting about arthritis. If we replace your joint, if we treat you successfully with an arthritis medicine, we increase your risk of falling because we finally get you up and out of the chair.
Right.
But the arthritis itself can cause problems. All right. According to the National Council on Aging, five steps for reducing falls. One, if someone you love, you're worried about their risk of falling, discuss their current health conditions. Are they having trouble remembering to take their medications? Do they have side effects? Is it more difficult for them to do things in general than they do before? Now, Shelley, I try not to complain about my mother. God bless my mother. I try not to complain about her, but she drives me crazy. And
she's your mother.
Yeah, I know. And see, the thing is, she is getting more frail. She doesn't exercise regularly. She says she does. She says she does yard work. This summer was one of the hottest summer. This was the hottest summer on record. It was abysmal. I mean, it was a bathtub out there most of July.
Yes.
My mother said, "Well, I didn't really notice." And she apparently gets all of her yard work done before 9 a.m., which means she's doing 20 minutes of yard work tops, you know, and yard work is picking up some sticks. She goes out, she picks up some sticks. She says, "Well, I do yard work." She doesn't. And she, as she gets older, then she is losing her mobility, losing her strength, not really exercising and keeping her balance up. She goes to see the doctor, and the doctor, a nice young man, tells her she is great. You know, she is looks like a person 20 years younger, which is a very nice compliment. As a doctor, I will not use that compliment. I will try to inspire people to do more than they're currently doing. I'm not going to tell my patients they look great. He should know that she's not exercising at all, and there are things she should do. But, again, it's my mother. I'm sorry. Probably I shouldn't have gone off on a rant like that about my mom
that's on the radio. That's okay.
Do you have relatives?
I do. I do have relatives.
You have ancestors in the whole works?
I do.
Do you have an elderly relative that drives you nuts?
Yes.
No, you're so much sweeter than I am.
I do. I'm sure I do. I have a great aunt.
And are you worried about her health, or is it just that she just...
I'm a little concerned about her health. She just recently moved to a nursing home. I'm more concerned about the fact that she's demented and has a cell phone.
You know, there. By the way, yeah. You know, you talk about taking the car away. That's one thing, and it is. It's a matter of public safety, but so you get calls.
Yes, we get calls.
A lot of calls.
Yes.
Okay.
To rescue her from the hotel.
Okay. We are in no way making fun of Alzheimer's disease, but my goodness, yes, have had those as well. My mother, all right, well, I'll match you on that. She got worried. She lives right next to the road, has all of her life, decided that people were racing their engines just to annoy her. And so she decided she would catch them. And so she started staying up all night with the window open, listening for them to come by and race their engines, and she was going to call the police. This is, you know, I begged her. I said, close the window, go down in the basement. Do not let this get to you because it's going to get you out of your house. Yeah. But I imagine those cell phone calls may be one reason why she's now in the nursing home, I would guess.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So a lot of things can go wrong. Number two. So we've talk about their current health conditions and make sure that they're not like my mother. Number two, ask about their last eye checkup. Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you, this is Weaver's rule of being a senior citizen. Everyone loves their cataract surgery. Half the people like their teeth. Nobody likes their hearing aid. So, honestly, if you can do something about their vision, you can prevent falls, and life is so much more enjoyable when you can actually see what you are doing. It helps prevent falls. It also helps maintain a person's mental acuities by the fact that they can actually participate.
I've had several elderly patients tell me that they can't see where a step steps off. It all looks flat. So sometimes you can put a little strip or something on the very edge of a step that can help them differentiate.
We mentioned before bifocals are really problematic on stairs, and that is a way to blur out your strip by putting a reading lens at the bottom of glasses. It may be that it is better to buy separate long-distance glasses and reading glasses rather than trying bifocals. They're convenient, but realize that if they seem to be struggling with their walking, they're not able to see the ground or to see those steps as well with bifocals. Also, remember these tint-changing lenses, you know, the ones that get dark in the sunshine? When you first go into the house, the whole place is black. You can't see a thing. Yeah. I don't think that's a good idea for elderly people, but they mention change glasses when you go in the house, or you have to have a timeout when you go in the house to make sure that the tint goes away. Number three, this is a good one. Notice if your elderly loved one is holding onto walls, furniture, or someone else when walking, or has difficulty walking or arising from a chair. You know, we did that get up and go test. It's exactly what it sounds like. They're sitting in a chair, preferably with no arms, and you say, get up and go. And you watch and see. There's a timing to it, but honestly, you can tell very quickly whether or not they can rise from the chair and walk. Mm-hmm. And if it takes them a long time to do that. I'll tell you the other thing my mother-in-law did is when she would get in the car, she would get to a certain level, and then she would fall into the car. That was rather than slowly seating herself in the car, she just simply would let go of the door and plop into the seat because she was unable to support herself. She was very frail as she got older before she passed away in her mid-90s. So, again, getting up and sitting down, watch that, and you can tell exactly how much risk you're talking about. Number four, we'll say it again and again and again, talk about medications. Encourage them to discuss their concerns with their doctor. This is where people like Shelley and I get our money. This is how we get paid, is to try to make sure that you are safe from your medicines. And when we make our house calls, we will probably stop as many medicines or more than we start.
Absolutely.
Because the side effects start to add up when you get into your 80s. And you ask yourself, why is a person in their mid-80s still taking their cholesterol pills? Mm-hmm. And why do they take those silly bladder medicines after they're wearing Depends? Because those medicines have a ton of side effects. So it is a good idea to go over with the doctor, with the pharmacist, with the healthcare professional, the medications. And remember, the non-prescription medicines that have PM in their names, that's all. They're all mostly diphenhydramine. It is an ugly, ugly sleeping medicine. It renders you unconscious for a certain period of time, and then it wears off slowly. Nobody of any age, it's really not very good, and certainly not for senior citizens. And then the final thing, Shelley, you mentioned, do a walkthrough assessment of the home. Make sure there is enough light. My mother loves the romantic lighting. She's got all those little flame-shaped, you know, the flicker flame bulbs that she's bought for all the lamps. And it's in her defense, it means she doesn't have to clean up the house because you can't tell. But on the other hand, it is very difficult to see. Likes throw rugs. She collects those, and so she's got plenty of those. Everything you could think of to do wrong, she's done wrong. Stairs, make sure there are two secure rails on all stairs. This is a very simple thing to do. Gives people something to hold on to. Bathrooms, grab bars in the tub shower. We just redid our bathroom, and knowing that we are getting older, we put in grab bars in the shower. Make sure they're installed where your older loved one could actually use them. Consider using a shower chair. These are fairly easy to pick up, or a handheld shower. So those, again, are the five steps from the National Council on Aging with commentary. With commentary to help prevent your elderly loved one from having a serious fall. And again, these things can be deadly. They mentioned a couple of things that doctors need to know. First of all, the blood pressure medicines and the statin cholesterol medicines have not been shown to increase your fall risk. The benzodiazepines, these are sleeping pills, increase fall rates. That has been documented time and time again. Adults who only walk during errands have a higher fall risk. If you do not walk for the pleasure of walking, if you only walk when you have to, your fall risk goes up. And so you could tell, you know, if somebody, if you see people basically sitting until they have to do something, that's bad. They mentioned, we've looked at this study on Health Matters before, virtual reality training could help prevent falls. Again, strapping on a virtual reality set of glasses and then going through scenarios kind of virtually. I am unimpressed with that. I believe that you can do as well with a much lower cost approach, but they mentioned it. And then vitamin D supplements. Supposedly, now the message on this is mixed, but they're supposed to improve muscle strength. And at least one study, not the strongest study we've ever seen, said, well, vitamin D supplements may lower your risk of falls. What are you doing with vitamin D?
Not a whole lot, unless they have renal osteodystrophy. I need to see more data, and I'm not quite sure what I'm treating. What am I doing?
Yeah. Now, let's remind our radio fans, multivitamins have never been shown to benefit and may, in fact, cause harm, shorten your life expectancy. You are paying for, we always said you're paying for expensive urine, but you're also paying to shorten your life expectancy. Make no sense at all. You can make a case for vitamin B12. Mm-hmm. Very safe, easy to take, cheap. And vitamin B12 can lead to nerve damage.
Yes.
Which could affect your ability to walk and also could affect your thinking, your mentation as you get older. As we get older, it is harder for our bodies to absorb vitamin B12. And so many health experts, and I will tell you, I am among them, recommend vitamin B12 for people over age 55 because of that high risk that you won't make enough stomach acid to actually to absorb B12. Vitamin D, I am still taking vitamin D, but I share your skepticism. I haven't yet stopped it, but it was really touted as a cure to everything.
Yeah.
We thought it would lower your rate of cancer, prevent diabetes, lower your blood pressure, improve your health, and so forth. Now, it is true that people who have all those conditions have low vitamin D levels, but it didn't work out that providing vitamin D in a pill changed anything. We could not show a change. So it may be that low vitamin D levels don't cause it. It's just that people who are sick happen to have low vitamin D levels. Mm-hmm. We're not sure about that, but I'm not as fond. But at any rate, at least one expert opinion said you need to supplement vitamin D. Last thing I'll mention, this is brand new from the Journal of the American Geriatric Society in September 2016. They looked at the possibility that fainting, we call it syncope, could be a cause of unexplained falls in older people. People over age 65, people with a diagnosis of dementia, and had suspected loss of consciousness or unexplained falls went in. And they found of the people that were enrolled who had a fall, half of them, it said half of them referred for the possibility of a loss of consciousness. They found that diagnosis of syncope, fainting, was confirmed in 87%, and it was identified as the cause of the fall in 45% of those referred for unexplained falls. So, interestingly enough, I think if you ask a young person, did you pass out, they know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's no, it's not like you have to think about it. But an older person who suddenly pitches forward on the floor, they may or not, may not, and this is over age 65 in this study, they may or may not be aware of the fact that they passed out on their, and that started the fall. And it only takes a brief period of passing out. And they're more prone to dehydration because of their medications, their inability to maintain their blood pressure quite as well, and their own other medications that would make them more likely to pass out. But passing out may be a common cause of falling in older people. Something to think about. Think about it over the break, because we're going to come back with our third and final fractional portion. You're listening to Health Matters on Morehead State Public Radio.
Support for MSPR comes from the Northeast Kentucky Area Health Education Center, located at the St. Clair Regional Medical Center in Morehead. The Northeast AHEC connects students to careers, professionals to communities, and communities to better health. The Northeast AHEC strives to improve the supply and distribution of healthcare professionals through the community and academic educational partnerships. More information is available online at neahec.org.
Welcome back to Health Matters. This is Shelley Irving.
I'm Dr. Tony Weaver. This is the 11.5th annual Fall Spectacular. We know it's either the 11th or the 12th. We're not sure which. Our records don't go back that far, so we decided to split the difference. Once again, Rick Phillips is who knows where, and may or may not be coming back, depending on, I guess, how he and Larry, the NASA chief engineer, hit it off. Our sponsor for the final time, Shoes with Tread. If your feet feel numb and dead, you should be wearing Shoes with Tread, reminding you, these are the characteristics of the good shoe. A supported heel collar. This is something like hiking boots that actually provide support for the ankle. Do not allow it to wobble should you step on a place that is not quite level. A low heel height. Once you get over an inch heel, your risk of falling doubles. A beveled heel, they talk about, rather than having a sharp edge to the heel, have a heel that's sort of cut away in the back so that the shoe goes down gradually when you walk. A fastening mechanism, we haven't talked about that either. I'm very fond of Velcro fastening for older people or ties, but the slip-on shoes tend not to hold quite as tight for most people. And a slip-resistant sole, that is the shoes with tread. And, of course, we are against high heels, and we cannot say fervently enough that we are not fond of flip-flops. That is our sponsor, Shoes with Tread. If your feet feel numb and dead, you should be wearing shoes with tread. Now, we've got a couple or three specific examples of falling that I wanted to talk about. This first one we introduced last year. This came from the University of Wisconsin, and this was tree stand fall injuries among Wisconsin deer hunters. And this is what they said in their introduction. Falls from elevated platforms 10 to 30 feet off the ground, usually connected to trees. We call those tree stands for deer hunting. Now, the most common form of injury to white-tailed deer hunters. And you think, well, they shoot each other. They don't. Yeah. That's it happens, but that's very uncommon. Falls from tree stands. Surveys estimated over a 10-year time frame, 7 of every 100 deer hunters who use tree stands will fall. 7 out of 100.
Wow.
Over a lifetime, that was over 10 years, over a lifetime, if you are a lifetime deer hunter, your risk may go as high as 1 in 3, says one article. 1 in 3 chance of falling out of your deer stand. So they looked at their experience in the state of Wisconsin alone. There were around 16,000 deer hunters in that year. 39 confirmed medically attended tree stand fall injuries. That is, if you fall and you get up and you dust yourself off and you limp away, you're not in this study. If you fell and you had to call the ambulance or call for medical help, you got in this study. 39 in 2009 through 2013. Injuries mainly occurred to the lower extremities, the legs. 2 fatalities, 1 paralysis case. They found over the period of 5 years that they looked at it, there was not a significant change, either better or worse, in the chance of falling. So first of all, if you are a hunter, you've got to realize this is a real risk. This is your most likely form of injury. And the other thing, that lifetime risk really stood out for me. As high as 1 in 3 will over their lifetime fall. Now, there's a couple of reasons. I mean, we speculated last year falling asleep at the deer stand.
Yeah.
And you can strap yourself in. I think the other one they mentioned, though, is after you have been sitting motionless in a deer stand for several hours and you try to climb down, you may not be at your physical best. If you used an alcoholic beverage to keep yourself company, you will certainly not be at your best. But even if you didn't, staying still that long in the cold weather and then trying to walk, you're going to be a little stiff. And there may be a higher risk. But please set up your deer stands. Please take extra care because this is a very common cause of injury. And we've got deer season coming up. Just a reminder to our Health Matters Deer Hunter fans, be very careful with your deer stand. You don't hunt, Jelly?
No, I don't hunt.
I am not a hunter. We have on our farm, there is a herd of deer. We have apple trees, and so they're always nosing around trying to get apples. And so if I ever wanted to hunt, I could actually just go out, and I could probably stab the deer with a knife because, you know, they're all over the place.
While it's eating your apples.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's really not that hard, and there's not a whole lot of sport, you have to say. You know, I guess I could hunt with a fly swatter or something and just for – excitement, but honestly, it doesn't do a lot for me. But we do have friends that hunt, and again, those deer stands they can be dangerous. This is something I know you're going to know a lot about, Shelley. This was March. It's actually back in 2009, and we've brought it up every year. This came from the CDC in Atlanta. 87,000 American humans. I don't know why they call it American humans. That's weird. Wind up in the emergency room with injuries from falls related to domestic pets, cats and dogs, every year. Injuries from cat and dog-related falls account for 1% of the fall-related injuries back in 2006. Dogs, the culprit 90% of the time. No surprise there.
No.
And
no.
Cats won't get close enough to cause you to fall unless they're fighting each other.
I'm surprised it's not a higher percent.
Injury rates substantially higher with dogs as well. They were almost 13 times higher among children up to age 14 and 11 times higher among older adults. Again, these are fall injuries, not the dogs biting them, but the dogs. We keep mutts. We rescue dogs. And there was this one dropped off in front of our farm. And you get these dogs that you probably, if they weren't depending on you for their lives, you probably wouldn't take them. You know? And I've got this white dog, and I'm not terribly fond of her. When she gets excited, she runs under your feet. She has caused me, you know, we talked about 1 in 3 adults fall every year. I fall at least a couple of times, and she was the cause of my last two major falls. As I started off to do something, it was an exciting time. We were yelling about something, and I start to try to fix something, and she decides it's time to run right in front of me and trips me. So I'm blaming myself on that. As far as pet injuries, females twice as likely as males to be injured. Now, that is the one element of stupid where women are actually more stupid than men. I think women love their dogs.
Yeah.
You got
a
dog?
So too. No, I don't. I've got a rabbit.
Rabbits do not cause falls.
They do not.
I can't say much else. We had a rabbit, and that rabbit ate pretty much every electrical cord in our, you know, it would get out, and then it would start munching on our electrical cords.
Yep.
And we finally, my dad made us get rid of it when we were young, and I haven't had a rabbit since then. Your rabbit bite?
It nips a little bit, yeah, but does not cause a fall.
Okay. Unless you're running away from it. females, twice as likely as males to be injured in a pet-related fall. Injuries most frequent among children up to age 14. Young kids, again, get bowled over by dogs. I think you've seen that again and again, a little bit of rough play. And adults ages 35 to 54. Not necessarily the senior citizens, but the adults ages 35 to 54. Now, many of our radio fans have heard me say that if you're over age 65, you need to take your dog to obedience school because you're going to spoil that dog. Mm-hmm. Once again, I will go back to my mother, who I have nothing but good things to say about except for this particular show. She has a dog that she spoils, and that dog is completely untrained. And, of course, she lets the dog in and out the front door, and the dog is always, anytime she opens the front door, the dog immediately heads for the front door, going in or going out, and fights with her to get through the door first. So she has a built-in fall machine with that dog, and she has trained it to make sure she trips on her way out. Most common injuries, fractures, one-third of the time, bruises or abrasions a quarter of the time. People 75 and older had the highest rates of fracture. Now, that's the thing. So young people certainly fall, and they are injured, but the highest rates of bone fracture, 75 and older with pets. And, again, dogs 90% of the time, women twice as likely as men to be injured in a pet-related fall. And I have a on-again, off-again relationship with our pets. My wife, as women do. She takes care of the pets, and that's a great thing. She's very, very involved with our dogs and our cats, and so she does that. And she has not fallen down. they, I don't know why, they don't respect her, but she's been, I think she doesn't try to, she, when things get exciting, I'm the one that's running out and doing stuff, and I always fall over the dog, but she may dispute that. If you know my wife, you can ask her for her side of the story. Their recommendation, according again to the CDC, prevention strategies should focus on increasing public awareness of pets and pet items as fall hazards and of situations such as yelling at each other and then running in our family that can lead to fall injuries, and reinforcing the American Veterinary Medical Association recommendations emphasizing obedience training for dogs. So this is not just me. Other people recommended obedience training as well. Prevention measures for fall injuries should be balanced against the known health benefits of pet ownership.
So, to summarize, put the dog in the tree stand and prevent a fall.
You know, I haven't thought about keeping a dog up in a tree stand. That would be a different use for the tree stand in the off season, wouldn't it? He said, mm-hmm. Well, the dog just gets used to living up there, and certainly he could protect your house from up there.
Right.
It's a nice view of anybody coming up the driveway or something like that.
Right.
So it sounds like a win-win as far as I'm concerned. I absolutely agree with you. But the obedience training thing, you know, that is money spent. I will tell you, you know, when I was young, I loved playing with my dog, and I played with the dog, and I trained it to follow commands, and we played ball, and we played games together and so forth. Now that I'm older, I work all day, and I come home, and the dog knows absolutely nothing about what I want it to do because I haven't been there with it. So if you're in that situation, if you have neither the energy nor the time to invest, obedience training could save you. I'm talking to myself. I'm not listening. I'm probably not going to send our dogs for obedience training. I've given up on our dogs. The best thing, as you said, is to put the dog up in the tree stand and just let it happen. That's the way it goes. All right, so pets. The final thing we want to mention, the last cause of falls that I think is really important, and we will do this in our Christmas show. Again, we're in the midst of the Hallowthanksmas season now. We are rapidly approaching Halloween, followed by Thanksgiving, followed by Christmas, followed by returns and exchanges. And then finally, about mid-January, early February, we are through with all this nonsense. But until then, we decorate. We put up, now we're decorating. You know, I mentioned this last time, I saw a life-size ghost, which bothered me to no end. I have not slept since I saw that because I don't know what a life-size ghost is. But they have, once again, this was at, I think, at Lowe's or maybe Home Depot, they have a 16-foot tall thing with a fan at the base of it, you know, that this thing towers over you. So if you want to scare the living daylights out of the trick-or-treater kids, you apparently get this enormous thing to top off your Halloween display. The problem is you put all these things up, and when you do, you fall. This study was from September 2015, Level 1 Trauma Center, 2 years, looking at all the people who had injuries caused during Christmas light installation. 40 patients, 95% male. If you want to see stupid, check out the men. Average age was 55 years old. That was a little bit of a surprise to me. I think, you know, what happens is that at 55, you got the money to buy all these crazy decorations. Mm-hmm. You don't have the sense to not put them on. They had neurologic injuries such as concussions and nerve damage, 68, two-thirds of them that were admitted to the trauma center. Thoracic injuries, two-thirds. Spinal injuries, almost half. Injuries to the legs and arms, 40%. They fell off the ladder two-thirds of the time, the roof one-third of the time, fell off the ground or a railing. You know, if you stand on the deck railing, you can almost reach the gutter. You know, if you've ever experienced that. 3% of the time, they fell off the railing. Average length of stay, 2 weeks. 28% actually had some long-term damage. 12% referred to a rehab facility. 5% died due to Christmas decorating injuries. A couple of interesting things about it. No significant correlations between injuries and the time of day. 95% of them were daytime, so they're not out doing this in the middle of the night, which I used to do because I sort of liked seeing the lights as they went up.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is I was working all day. But not that. The temperature or the active snowfall or the how close it was to Christmas Day. I don't know why you think you would injure. I guess you get more frantic as you get closer to Christmas or maybe more drunk. I don't know. But at any rate, snowfall, not a big deal as far as the rates of injury. But the point is, you know, we're putting up all these decorations. We're scaring the kids, followed by them. We got to put up the turkeys and so forth and the fodder shocks and all this stuff. And then, of course, then we got to put out the lights. And the Christmas decorations are the ones that we have this affinity for decorating gutters.
Yeah.
And that's where we get into trouble. Speaking of where we get into trouble, do you decorate your house for Christmas?
Not outside, just inside.
Okay. We live on a farm. We are so far away from the road, nobody can see it. So all we do is something that we want to see. And that I have never wanted to see my gutters glowing.
No. Me either.
First of all, a special thanks to our Morehead State Public Radio producer, Brian Courtney, and to Eric Bilbrey, who wrote our Health Matters theme song, and to you, our loyal radio fans. Remember to show your support for Health Matters by visiting our digital empire. To listen to our show, it's WMKY.org. Visit us on Facebook at HM Radio Show. For our radio crew and the supportive folks at the Northeast AHEC, thanks for listening to our show, and remember,
Health Matters is a prescription radio show used along with diet and exercise to lower blood sugar in adults with type 2 diabetes. Health Matters is not for people with type 1 diabetes or for people with diabetic ketoacidosis.
Women who listen to Health Matters may get yeast infections in the diaper area. Talk to your doctor if you experience an odor, a discharge which may be lumpy or look like cottage cheese, oh yeah, or diaper area itching.
Men who listen to Health Matters may also get a yeast infection in the diaper area, especially those with chronic conditions. Talk to your doctor if you experience redness, itching, or swelling, rash, foul-smelling discharge, or pain in the diaper area.
Health Matters can cause some people to have dehydration due to loss of body water and salt. Dehydration may cause you to feel dizzy, faint, lightheaded, or weak, especially when you stand up.
You may be at higher risk for dehydration if you have low blood pressure, take water pills, have kidney problems, or are 65 years old.
Whatever you do, do not take Health Matters lying down. Get out this week, make a healthy change in your life, and tune in next week as we explain how a yeast infection can cause your buns to rise on Morehead State Public Radio.
Support for Health Matters on MSPR comes from the Northeast Kentucky Area Health Education Center, located at the St. Clair Regional Medical Center in Moorhead. Additional information on the Northeast AHEC is available online at neahec.org.